The following podcast is brought to you by Radio Southland and New Zealand On Air. Radio Southland is a community access media station based in Invercargill, New Zealand. If you or your group would like to know more about how you can have a program on our station, please contact us. Visit our website, radiosouthland.org.nz, for our contact details.
Kia ora, I'm Senga and welcome to Heritage South, the show connecting Southlanders to their heritage and where we talk heritage happenings from around the region. In this episode, we're revisiting flax mills in Southland. This time, we're going to be exploring the history of the Otatara flax mills, one of the most important early industries in our district. And to do that, I'm joined by Marie Haggerty. Kia ora and welcome to Heritage South for the first time, Marie.
Kia ora, Ken Singer, thank you for having me on today.
Oh, I am absolutely delighted, as you very well know. Now, Marie and I know each other quite well, but today she's here wearing her hat as the creator of Otatara Memories, which is a community page that she launched almost 3 years ago, back in September 2023. So, Marie, let's start by telling people about Otatara Memories and what actually prompted you to start it.
It was one of those things that I thought about, wouldn't it be nice if the community could have something that the school children could look at if they wanted to get some history on Otatara, but also a place where people could put up their comments and reconnect with people that had lived there over their lives. I've lived there all my life, and my dad's lived there since he was four. He's in his 80s now, and him, myself, and my two sons all went to Otatara School, so we have three generations. And I didn't want to overthink it, I just thought, do it. And I did it.
And that's a really good way to do things. I'm an overthinker, and so it takes me a bit longer to get things done.
Yeah.
And I love that you're actually curating those personal memories and recollections, but putting them alongside pieces of the local history that's tied to Otatara and the places, you know, like the Areti River, Sandy Point, Areti Beach, the New River Estuary, even the old New River Ferry. All of those places are connected. And as you've already said, you know, you're an old girl of Otatara School. So, you know, the Otatara Bush School is also a significant part of the history and the heritage of the area. So your page is really all about the memories first, and that historical detail, which I have to say you are very good at, is woven right through. And so it is a living community archive, I think, which is really lovely.
Mm-hmm.
So there are so many stories, Marie, and I have followed your page for a long time. But today we're going to be chatting about the flax mills, and it reminded me of something that I live by, and that is what's obvious to you is amazing to me. And I didn't realise just how significant and how many flax mills there were in early Otatara, and also just how much this early industry had shaped the settlement and the daily life of people who settled in the Otatara area. Now, I know you're a really keen researcher, Marie, so tell us a little bit about how important some of these local books have been to the work that you've been doing around this.
Well, when you go to search online, it's hard to find anything. And it's particularly hard to find anything on Otatara. And in fact, there's another Otatara in the North Island. So if you do searching, that can come up as well. So we've been very lucky. When Otatara School turned 100, a book was produced called Sawdust and Scholars, A History of Otatara Bush School and Districts. So that was back in 1979. I actually attended school when the school turned 100. It was my last year at Otatara School. There's a map in the back of the book, and it marks out a lot of locations of the flax mills and also of sawmills and some other key areas. So the book was written by Marilyn Bunce, and it drew on a lot of facts and pieces of history that had been collected by Colin Robertson in the early 1970s. So he sort of went around and asked a lot of people in the community at the time to share their stories with him, and he wrote them down, and then Marilyn used them in the book.
And so, and that's
amazing.
And that's those happens. Nuggets of gold,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
And you're quite right. You're not going to find those things anywhere else.
Yeah.
So that's really exciting. So the first flex mill.
Yeah.
When did it open, and where was it?
So the first flax mill was on the terrace near Lake Murahiku, and it was powered by a water wheel fed by hand-dug ditch draining the lake. Flax was apparently punted to the mill via the Waikiki stream, but in summer, water shortages often forced it to close. And after the mill was abandoned, locals eventually used the shingles from its roof for firewood. So I guess they've been quite resourceful back then, weren't they?
Well, you know, repurpose, reuse. One of the things that I immediately think of is, Marie, where is Lake Murahiku?
Yeah,
because
yeah,
I have never heard of it before.
So that's a great question. You can find Lake Murahiku by turning off Otatara Road onto Coggins Road, then continuing along onto Hughes Road. It's very close to where the original Otatara school stood. So back in the 1920s, they held sports days and social gatherings at that lake.
Oh, right.
So there's actually a newspaper article that I found, and it lists all the results from a sports day.
Oh, and it's only kindred spirits like you and I that will go. It's so exciting when you find something like that in papers past,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, very true.
But then there was another mill. What? So the second mill, I think, was Shields Mill.
Yeah, so that was along, but more close to the Duns Road Bridge. And it was opposite Akers, so we all know or heard of the Akers and Stewart Island connection there as well. So it was likely opened around 1891. They don't have the exact dates, but that's the dates that the Shields children enrolled in Otatara School. The children rowed across the river to reach the school, which was... So the Otatara School has actually shifted effectively three times to get to where it is now.
Right.
So in 1879 it opened just west of Coggins Road with 28 children. Then it moved closer to the corner of Coggins and Otatara Road, which is the Gordon's Corner site. And then in 1899 it moved to where it is today.
Oh.
Yeah.
So it sounds like there was some white pine that was delivered to the river wharf to fuel the steam engine. The flax and the timber were then moved by punt between the wharves on both banks.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that today we just take it for granted that we can just drive up to Otatara and it's all good.
Yeah.
But that wasn't always the case. Yeah.
So there's another one which was actually owned by four people over the time between 1890 and 1920 and was first owned by a George Edwards. And eventually it was owned by Fossbender. So a lot of people might have made the connection there with Fossbender's Park at Otatara, just over the bridge. 16 men were on contract and hauled fibre to town over the old ferry bridge. Now, that old ferry bridge was built in 1867 and was a nerve-wracking experience, the poles almost floating and the whole bridge swaying under the weight of a fully loaded wagon. So I just wanted to quickly mention there too that back in the day, there was people travelled between Invercargill, I guess you'd say, and Riverton, going out that way and along the beach. So that's another story that I'll put up on my page at one point.
Another story for another day.
Yeah, and then the Fossbender's brothers actually had their own mill later on. The main one is what I refer to as the Royds Mill. And that's because it was actually in operation up until 1970, so other people might remember
right.
that as well. So.
And that was the one at Sandy Point, is that correct?
Yeah, so Cuthbert Royds actually had two runs. So the first one was near where the Water Ski Club headquarters are now, although the Water Ski Club, that building's sort of not in use. But that was his first one. He opened that in 1902. And then in 1913, he built his second mill, which is when you're going out to the beach, you go over the bridge and it's to the left. And it was known as Royds, and then it became New River Company, and later it was called the Sandy Point Mill, and it was eventually passed to George Bennett, who owned it from around 1950 and closed it in 1970. In the early years, before roads or bridges existed, the mill relied on a punt to move flax, fibre and boiler wood along the river. So that Duns Road Bridge didn't actually come into existence until 1929. Mm. So, yeah.
Almost 100 years ago now.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. And, of course, there are great local stories connected to Royds that are mentioned in the Sawdust and Scholars book that you were talking about. And it sounds to me like there was a man called Dave Mill who managed the mill until 1920, and he lived in a small cottage that was shifted there by Royds, and then he later moved into the Royds home across the river. Apparently there's a well-known story about Mrs. Royds. Mrs. King, who, when she was bringing home newborn son Eric, she had given birth in one of those Invercargill maternity homes, and she was coming home and she had baby Eric in a basket. She'd travelled by horse and cart to the site of where the present bridge is, but because there were no allowances for time off, she had to wait 5 hours behind a flax bush until her husband finished work and rode across to collect her.
Those are the stories.
And those of us who have had children can't quite imagine what that must have felt like. But yeah. She would have taken it in her stride, I'm sure. Mm. There's another tale that recalls the day that peace was declared after World War I in 1918. And Ernie Bridgman, who drove the steam engine, he tied a brick to the whistle cord in celebration before heading across the river by boat with other staff to join the festivities in Invercargill.
Yeah.
You can picture it, can't you?
Yeah, I really love those sorts of memories.
And, of course, it is the community memories. That's where the really good oil is. And you do get a lot of interactions from people commenting and sharing their own memories on Otatara Memories, the Facebook page. So that must feel really good for you to get that community interaction that you were hoping for.
Yeah, sometimes it's I might not have much, so I'll just throw a picture up if I can find one, an old photo or some words. And then what I'm really trying to do is draw out someone saying, my nana, I remember, you know, my auntie or whoever.
Because actually we don't realise sometimes that those little snippets of stories that we have connect to other things, and you're the centre part that brings all of those really cool stories together.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. So tell us a couple of the stories that you have come across on your Otatara Memories page.
Yeah, so one of them, so the last owners of the flax mill, the Sandy Point one, was the Bennett family. And now that Bennett family have a big connection with flax mills because George Bennett, his father and brothers, all worked in the industry originally in Oripoki, the flax mill in Oripoki. And their names are actually on the Templeton flax mill board that they've got of all the names. That was a great connection too. So Catherine Bennett, who is George's daughter, she connected with the page. And so she shared a memory with me. She said, we used to roam up and down the rows of drying flax as kids, sometimes picking mushrooms for Dad. Now, people still go and pick mushrooms in the grounds over there.
Oh, right.
So there are still mushrooms that you can actually pick. But the great thing about that too, the Invercargill City Council have a whole lot of aerial images that they took of Southland during the 1950s. Now, if you zoom in on that area, you can actually see the rows of flax from about 1952 those photos were taken.
Oh, right.
So that's what I love doing. I love zooming in and going, oh, yeah, I can see what the person's talking about.
And I think there was another Bennett employee as well that you were quite keen to mention, I think, yeah. Lance Aiken.
Yeah, so yeah. Lance is the whole Aiken family. There's a lot of them, and they've lived out in Otatara for years and years, and many of them still actually do live out there. Lance, his story. So I actually met with him personally, but I also gained the information that he'd written into the Otatara. There was an article in the Otatara Oracle, and he's also featured in Flax Mills of the South, written by Margaret Trotter. So Lance learned the precise skill of cutting flax to strict tonnage rules, earning his pay based on the average weight of each load. He relied on improvised clothing, and that was second-hand white dress shirts that they found lasted longer than the work shirts. The work was brutally hard, swampy ground, winter frost, heavy bundles carried across narrow boards, gum covering everything. Icy flax ran down the neck, and gloves were wearing out within days. And this is just a wee quote from Lance. We wore gloves to protect our hands from the gum and cutty grass. The gloves wore out after a few days and gummed up with gum. We never seemed to get all of the stains off your hands, no matter how much you washed.
So it's wonderful to have those memories from other people. And it does remind me of the episode we did on the Templeton's flax mill a little bit. So I would really encourage people to pop back onto our Spotify account and have a listen to that. I would just like to say, Marie, that there is so much more that people can find out about on the Aotearoa Memories page. There's a video, I think, up there of the demolition of that Sandy Point flax mill, so people can go on and have a look at that.
Yeah.
And please, everybody, reach out to Marie via Aotearoa Memories if you've got something to share. And I'm going to twist your arm and bring you back another time to talk about something else.
Oh, that would be wonderful, because there's a lot of stories on there.
I know there are so many. Thanks for joining me, Marie.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thank you, Sienka.
And thanks for joining me on Heritage South. This show is available as a podcast from the Radio Southland website, radiosouthland.org.nz. You can stream or download this episode. Just look for us in the Programs tab. Links can also be found on Facebook through Radio Southland's page and also on the Heritage South page. And if you want to make sure you don't miss any episodes, you can subscribe to this podcast on the Apple Podcast platform, through the Access Media app, or on Spotify.
The preceding podcast was brought to you by Radio Southland with the support of New Zealand On Air. Their funding of accessmedia.nz makes these podcasts available. To find similar programs by other stations involved, go online to accessmedia.nz.